This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
D-Nuke discussions continue. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Thursday, June 14. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is visiting South Korea and China in the wake of the Trump-Kim summit. Hear what he's saying about complete denuclearization.
The Justice Department watchdog releases a highly anticipated report today about the FBI decisions regarding the Hillary Clinton email investigation.
The Fed has raised interest rates again. Find out what the central bank is saying about future increases and what it means for our bank accounts.
And on a lighter note, settling the dietary debate about eggs. Are they healthy or not?
They're considered a high quality protein. They're very affordable. They taste great. They fill you up. People tend to really, really like them in a lot of different ways.
Wall Street Journal reporter Ellen Byron on the pros and cons of eggs. She's here in about 20 minutes. Federal Reserve officials have voted to raise the federal funds rate by a quarter percentage point and also indicated they could pick up the pace of interest rate increases. At the conclusion of yesterday's two-day meeting, central bank officials announced their second rate increase this year and targeted a total of four increases in 2018. The forecast in March, you might recall, was just three raises this year. Their goal is to keep a rapidly expanding economy on an even keel. Central bank officials voted unanimously to raise the federal funds rate by a quarter percentage point to a range between 1.75% and 2%. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell says yesterday's hike is another sign that the U.S. economy is in great shape.
We expect to make further gradual increases in that rate. As a result, if the economy evolves broadly as we anticipate, the federal funds rate will, over the next year or so, move well within the range of estimates of the normal long-run level.
They've sharply upgraded their economic outlook over the past year because of global growth from last summer and the new tax cuts. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in Seoul, South Korea, to meet with senior officials from South Korea and Japan following the historic summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Mr. Pompeo says he's hopeful for major disarmament of North Korea's nuclear arsenal during President Trump's first term in office. He also waved off criticism that the summit declaration signed by Mr. Trump and Mr. Kim was vague and had failed to secure an explicit commitment from Pyongyang about the U.S. goal of complete, verifiable, and irreversible denuclearization.
The agreement that was signed made very clear that this would be the complete denuclearization and made express reference and incorporated into that the very well done document, the Panmunjom Declaration, which itself incorporates all previous agreements between inter-Korean agreements.
He says the U.S. would resume joint military exercises with South Korea if the talks stall. Mr. Pompeo met earlier today with South Korean President Moon Jae-in. He now heads to China. Well, South Korea is quietly upgrading its military hardware, acquiring new fighters and missiles, and weighing purchases of nuclear submarines, even as Seoul pursues a peace track with North Korea that has brought Pyongyang to direct talks with the U.S. It's a story by Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Jung, who joins us today from Singapore, following the summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Andrew, what's going on?
They're trying to replace their old fleet of F-4 and F-5 fighters, which date back to the Vietnam War. So they're quite old. And on top of that, they're also considering purchase of nuclear submarines. There's been chatter about perhaps purchasing a light carrier a few decades down the road. So I just think the story highlights the preparedness in South Korea that has been existent way before the peace process began, just for the possibility that the U.S. could leave, also the ambition that the South Koreans had harbored for years about creating a military that could operate without U.S. help or with minimal American help.
I was going to say, does this indicate some sort of new level of distrust from Seoul with regards to U.S. reliability?
I don't think it reflects a sudden distrust on the U.S. I just think that it reflects the years of buildup that the South Koreans have invested in within their military. But it has multiple objectives. One, yes, it's building up a military that can operate on its own eventually. But two, it also reflects a hedge against the risk that the U.S. could leave. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the South Koreans are distrusting of the U.S. presence in South Korea, or the South Koreans think that the U.S. is going to suddenly leave. But they are preparing, I guess, a long-run plan, if you will, at the point where and when the U.S. will eventually leave. And it's a possibility down the road, but it certainly does not reflect a notion that the South Koreans think the U.S. is going to abandon the alliance anytime soon, or the U.S. is going to leave the peninsula in any coming months, despite the nuclear talks and despite President Trump's comments after the summit with Kim Jong-un here in Singapore.
So from a military standpoint then, Andrew, is it missiles from North Korea that would be priority number one in terms of defense?
Yes. So the whole, the main purpose of purchasing these F-35As from the U.S. is to build up a missile defense system that can operate on its own to defend South Korea against a possible North Korean ballistic missile attack, which would eventually, could include nuclear missiles among them. So South Korea currently only has a batch of Patriot missiles, and the U.S. forces in Korea do have a newly introduced system, missile shield, called THAAD, short for THAAD, Terminal High Altitude Area Defense System. So they have a assortion of military defense, missile defense intact, but they're trying to boost themselves up so that they can have a stronger missile defense system that can, block and deflect North Korean nuclear missiles, not only those on the way to South Korea, but also those ones that are about to be launched. So this means, acquiring not only F-35As, but down the road, acquiring radar and satellite systems that can detect these kinds of maneuvers in North Korea.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Jung, is with us from Singapore, and he's written a piece about South Korea bulking up its military might. Is this more relevant than ever since Mr. Trump announced the cancellation of those joint military exercises?
Right. We just thought that it was a good time to write this kind of story because of what you just said, Mr. Trump's comment in Singapore, that he thinks that some of the exercises that the U.S. and South Korea conducts is a tremendous cost to the U.S. taxpayers. And according to Mr. Trump, that it's provocative, which is a line that the North Koreans and the Chinese have used to describe them. So I think that the South Koreans are eventually going to, ramp up these exercises down the road once and if these nuclear talks falter. But at this point, I think they're considering toning them down and even canceling them, as President Trump did say at the press briefing.
Thanks, Andrew. Andrew Jung, Wall Street Journal reporter, with us today from Singapore. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. The internal watchdog at the Justice Department will release a long-awaited report today on how the FBI handled the Hillary Clinton email probe. That's one of many things she blames for her election loss to Donald Trump back in 2016. We get more from This Morning's Mike Gavin.
The report has focused on whether former FBI Director James Comey's public statements about the probe of Mrs. Clinton's use of a private email server were based on improper considerations. In July 2016, Mr. Comey held an unusual news conference to explain why the FBI would not be recommending criminal charges against Mrs. Clinton over her use of the private server. Then, less than 2 weeks before Election Day, he told Congress the probe was being reopened after new emails were found. 2 days before the election, Mr. Comey said the FBI had found no new evidence. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Mr. Comey was fired by President Trump while leading an investigation into whether the Trump campaign colluded with Russia, an allegation, of course, the president has denied. The report is due to be released at 2 p.m. Eastern Time today. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Word in the U.S. and its Asian allies are working to paper over any semblance of disagreement over President Trump's concession to Kim Jong-un that the U.S. would halt military exercises with South Korea, with Trump's top diplomat insisting the president hasn't backed down from his firm line on North Korea's nukes. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, meeting with top South Korean and Japanese diplomats, put a more sober spin on several moves by Trump after his summit with Kim that had fueled unease in Tokyo and Seoul.
The world should rest assured that the United States, the Republic of Korea, and Japan remain committed to achieving the complete, verifiable, and irreversible denuclearization of North Korea.
Pompeo says Trump's claim that the North's nuclear threat was over was issued with eyes wide open. The Federal Reserve has raised a key interest rate another quarter point. The federal funds target rate, which is now between 1.75 and 2%, is the highest it's been in nearly a decade. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell.
Economic growth appears to have picked up in the current quarter, largely reflecting a bounce back in household spending. Business investment continues to grow strongly, and the overall outlook for growth remains favorable.
The Fed sees GDP increasing at a rate of 2.4% next year and unemployment dropping to 3.5%. San Francisco supervisor London Breed has emerged victorious, becoming the city's first African-American woman mayor. It took 8 days of counting after Election Day for Breed to build a large enough lead to claim the city's top job. Ann Donovan, a legendary figure in women's basketball who won Olympic gold as a player and as a coach for the U.S., has died of heart failure. She was 56. The New Jersey native was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in 1995 and also was part of the inaugural class of the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame in 1999. A 6'8" center, Donovan played collegiately for Old Dominion. And Achilles, the deaf white cap, has made his first World Cup pick, and guess what? He's going with the home team. The cat in St. Petersburg, reputed to have psychic powers, was offered a choice of two bowls of food, and he chose the one with the Russian flag, dismissing Saudi Arabia's chances of a win today in Moscow.
But overall, however, Russia makes an early exit.
Okay.
As the lowest seeded team ever to host a World Cup.
We'll count and see how Achilles does through the course of the tournament.
I'm sure we will. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. What's the truth about eggs? Nutrition experts say eggs are beneficial in a high-protein diet, but the FDA says they're too high in fat and cholesterol to be labeled healthy. What's that mean for those of us who eat them? Here's This Morning's Jennifer Koshenka.
It's the great egg debate. Are they healthy or not? Ellen Byron of the Wall Street Journal has studied the pros and cons and joins us now. Ellen, what are some of the positives of eggs?
Well, they're considered a high-quality protein. They're very affordable. They taste great. They fill you up. People tend to really, really like them in a lot of different ways.
They also make us feel fuller. So people who are trying to lose weight, it's a good ingredient, is it not?
Well, a lot of nutrition experts say yes, it is, because you don't tend to overeat an egg like you do a cookie or a donut. And also with eggs, they do tend to fill you up, so you're less likely perhaps to snack. And there's so many different ways to prepare eggs or other things to eat with eggs that it's a little harder to get tired of them.
All right, Ellen, what are some of the bad things about eggs?
Well, eggs' bad rap really stems from their high cholesterol. So one large egg yolk has 186 milligrams, and the U.S. dietary guidelines used to advise people to limit their dietary cholesterol to 300 milligrams a day, which is roughly an egg and a half, and most Americans eat far more than that when they sit down to eat eggs. And so, but the latest advice removes that upper cap of 300 milligrams a day and it says that you can eat eggs as part of a healthy eating pattern. But at the same time, the guidelines still advise cholesterol intake to be kept as low as possible.
We're speaking with Ellen Byron of the Wall Street Journal. Ellen, I thought the really interesting part of your story was about the restaurants that are promoting eggs and kind of new and innovative dishes, and also how they're photographed on things like Instagram. That's what we're thinking about these days.
Eggs are really hot and fashionable also. So there are almost 10 million hashtag egg references on Instagram right now. People love photographing food with eggs in it. Restaurants understand that. I spoke to one restaurant owner in San Diego who knew that his patrons love photographing their meals, and he had a traditional Mexican sandwich that really needed sprucing up. So he added two sunny-side-up eggs, and it was a prettier sandwich all of a sudden. Restaurants are highlighting eggs on menus in lots of different ways.
That's the Wall Street Journal's Ellen Byron with this morning's Jennifer Koschenka. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well with the username at Gordon Deal. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you were fumbling around in the dark and someone handed you a flashlight, you'd take it, right? Nobody wants to be left in the dark. But shouldn't it be the same when it comes to spotting threats to your identity and the data on your devices? The digital world is so full of connections, it may only take one weak link for criminals to get in. Fortunately, new LifeLock identity theft protection now adds the power of Norton Security to shed light on more of today's threats. Threats to your identity, like your personal info for sale on the dark web, and threats to your computer or tablet, like ransomware. Of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime, but new LifeLock with Norton detects a wide range of threats to your identity and devices that you may not see on your own. Join now, and for the first year, get an additional 10% off the low starting price of $7.99 a month, plus applicable taxes. Go to LifeLock.com today and enter the promo code Gordon. That's LifeLock.com and the promo code Gordon.
Listen to us anytime on TuneIn at This Morning, America's First News with Gordon Deal, and on Stitcher at This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us, and welcome into Thursday, June 14. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Pompeo meets with South Korea and Japan following the Trump-Kim summit. Justice Department watchdog releases its report about the FBI's handling of the Hillary email probe. The Fed raised interest rates again. Elon Musk will work on a futuristic transportation system in Chicago, connecting O'Hare and downtown. USA, Canada, and Mexico will host the 2026 World Cup. And who to root for as the 2018 World Cup kicks off today in Russia. That story in about 20 minutes. Coming to you today from the Dell Studios, Dell Small Business Technology Advisors know there's nothing small about your business. They provide one-on-one partnership and reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors to get business done. Talk about daunting. The front line of the effort against the dangerous opioid fentanyl can be found in a cavernous hangar at O'Hare International Airport in Chicago, patrolled by drug-sniffing dogs and sharp-eyed X-ray machine operators. Their job? Figure out which of the tens of millions of parcels that pass through there each year might contain the powerful synthetic drugs blamed for a soaring rate of fatal overdoses. More from John Kyleman, reporter at the Chicago Tribune. John, set the scene.
Primarily, they're coming from China. They have a vast pharmaceutical industry there, and some people there are selling these over the internet, mostly, not too hard to find. And the shipping route they prefer is the Postal Service because they find that to be a more reliable route than, say, you know, FedEx or UPS or shippers like that, mainly because surveillance of their packages requires not just them doing it, but the country of origin doing the same. FedEx and UPS can kind of control that process all the way along the line. And the problem the Postal Service is having is that other countries' national mail carriers are not as efficient or not as willing to collect information that might help investigators figure out when drugs are coming into the country.
What did you find when you looked into the journey that these deadly packages go through?
Well, what happens at O'Hare is it's a giant international mail depot, and when packages come through, every single one of them is x-rayed. But however, you're talking about, you know, tens of thousands of packages each day, 55 million a year. And, you know, opening every single one or really giving them a close scan is just simply not possible. So they kind of do the best they can, which is you know, after a while, when they find certain things, they'll look for some hallmarks. You know, it could be the country it's coming from, could be, you know, the shipper it's coming from, could be the way it's wrapped, could be, you know, the way something shows up on an X-ray. But that's a highly imperfect way to try and stop, you know, the flow of extremely potent drugs.
We're speaking with Chicago Tribune reporter John Kyleman. So what can the federal government and drug enforcement agents do?
Well, that's a good question. What they're trying to do is have these other countries get better at, you know, doing their own surveillance and tracking to try and, you know, cut down on it on their end. I know that the federal government has tried to, you know, put some pressure on China in particular to rein in these rogue pharmaceutical manufacturers. I don't think that's really borne any fruit yet. But the problem is, I mean, you can make these anywhere. It doesn't have to be China. It could be, you know, some other country. It could be here in the United States. It doesn't take a genius to manufacture this stuff. And, you know, what some people I spoke to believe is that, you know, even if the federal government becomes, you know, great at detecting these, there's just too much of it. It's too easy to make. There are too many possible routes to come in. So thinking that you're going to stop it is really not realistic.
So are there things that FedEx and UPS have done that the post office is unable to do?
Well, it's just that when you send something through them, you have to put your name down. You have to put your address down. You have to say what it contains. Now, obviously, no one's going to be honest about, you know, if they're sending something illegal through there. But, you know, you can use that information. You know, if there's one particular address that you know that drugs are coming from, you know, you can keep track of every single package that comes from there. That's not a requirement of every other postal service in the world. So some of them are quite loose. I saw packages at O'Hare that had been sent through, you know, government shippers that, you know, their manifest didn't have any of that information on it.
Thanks, John. John Kyleman, reporter at the Chicago Tribune. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Just because I was away a work function Tuesday and Wednesday doesn't mean I've forgotten that today is Friday Eve.
Darn it. I was hoping you'd get confused.
Despite the fact that Dave Duncan and I have slept about 2 hours last night thanks to delays at Dallas-Fort Worth between Dallas-Fort Worth and Newark.
Right. But the good news is you left, you know, on Monday and you come back on Friday Eve, right?
Yeah, true.
Right? So
true.
That's not a bad deal.
Right.
So you can power through because today's Friday Eve. You can power through on an hour's sleep.
Being carried on adrenaline.
That's what you always tell us all the time about Friday Eve and the effects of Friday Eve on your body.
So I'm going to fake it today.
Yes.
And pretend I'm feeling lively and spry.
That's pretty much what we do every day, is it not?
No, stop. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, here's a feel-good follow-up to a story we told you about yesterday, and you likely saw all over your social media feeds. The NPR raccoon is back in the wild. The adventurous animal stole headlines and captured the hearts of thousands of people worldwide who watched it as it climbed to the top of a downtown St. Paul skyscraper. According to the Minneapolis Star Tribune, two technicians from Wildlife Management Services carted away the one-year-old female after it was caught in a trap containing wet cat food placed atop the 24-story UBS Plaza. Video posted to Facebook later showed the raccoon-turned celebrity being released on private residential property in the southwest suburbs. A wildlife expert said the animal was likely drawn to the tower's loading dock to feast on pigeon eggs when it got spooked, triggering a fight-or-flight instinct that likely sent it climbing to the top of the building. And despite all the drama, the famous raccoon hasn't stopped tweeting, reveling in all the media attention, and politely declining any potential invitation she might get to visit the White House from President Trump on the grounds that they couldn't accommodate her entourage.
Mm. Okay.
It didn't take long to develop an entourage. Right. For the raccoon.
Fascinating, all our interest in this raccoon story, by the way.
See, you know what?
Twitter seemed mesmerized.
Yeah, you know what seems to add fuel to the fire for these things is the fact that it happens in the middle of the afternoon.
Yes.
And people are at work, and they are just desperate for something to distract them from what they're supposed to be doing.
Now, raccoons, often portrayed as cute because of their look and their eye band,
eye mask or whatever they have. If this was a rat, would it get the same attention? I know rats don't climb like that, but just asking.
Only if it had a piece of pizza.
It's quite possible,
too. Yes, and then for sure.
I like the firefighter's approach, by the way, which was honest.
Yeah.
In which they said, okay, yes, we could get it, but okay, we're not risking the life of a firefighter to track down a raccoon. Yeah. I appreciate the honesty. Yeah.
And quite frankly, the raccoon's better equipped to sort of get out of that on her own than a firefighter is, than a
ladder
human
23
is,
stories high.
Right,
yeah.
I think, and the raccoon handled it just fine.
Fair enough.
And it's a big week for weird news for Minnesota, Gordon. A young woman endured an exhausting ordeal of her own recently when apparently she got her head stuck in a truck's oversized tailpipe at a Minnesota music festival. Firefighters used a power saw to free the woman from her predicament at last weekend's Winstock Music Festival in Winsted, about 40 miles west of Minneapolis. Video of the rescue was posted on Facebook. Local TV reported that while it's unknown how the woman ended up with her head in a tailpipe, it's possible that alcohol may have been a factor.
Whoa.
The McLeod County Sheriff's Office said she was cited for underage drinking and escorted out.
Well, I would have never assumed that drinking might have been involved in that story.
You may have asked me that question had we not mentioned it.
Here is a list, by the way. I compiled this after some research. A list of people who are sober who have gotten their head stuck in a tailpipe. Here are the names.
Uh-huh.
13 minutes now in front of the hour. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Thanks for spending time with us. If you have credit card debt, it just got a little more expensive. The Federal Reserve yesterday raised its benchmark federal funds rate by a quarter percentage point. What consumers might not expect, their credit card bill is going up too. Consumers with credit card debt will likely pay an additional $2.2 billion in interest payments annually, according to analysis from the credit card website comparecards.com. MarketWatch says to determine that number, analysts at the site looked at how much those carrying a balance pay in interest. Based on the current average percentage rate, annual percentage rate, they used a 15.32% APR as a base, which rose to 15.57% after the hike. Cardholders currently have about $1 trillion in credit card debt collectively. Based on those numbers, CompareCards concluded they would collectively pay $2.2 billion more with a 25 basis point hike. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the attorneys for Michael Cohen, President Trump's longtime personal lawyer, are expected to stop representing him in the criminal investigation into his business dealings. The Wall Street Journal says Cohen's attorneys are reviewing more than 3.7 million documents federal prosecutors seized in an April raid of his home office and hotel room to designate which communications they see as protected by attorney-client privilege ahead of a Friday deadline. The firm is expected to stop representing Cohen after that review is complete. Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani spoke on Fox.
I checked into this last night. It's not so. He's not cooperating, nor do we care, because the president did nothing wrong. We're very comfortable if he cooperates that there's nothing he can cooperate about with regard to President Trump.
Sources say Cohen is searching for a federal criminal attorney. The Justice Department's internal watchdog is expected to criticize the FBI's handling of the Hillary Clinton email investigation, stepping into a political minefield while examining how a nonpartisan law enforcement agency came to be entangled in the 2016 presidential race. The Inspector General's report is set for a release this afternoon. Two of the most visible members of the Trump administration are planning their departures, the latest sign of upheaval in a White House marked by turmoil. CBS is reporting that Press Secretary Sarah Sanders and Deputy Press Secretary Raj Shah are both heading for the exits. Sanders has told friends she plans to leave the administration at the end of the year. Shah is also considering his exit, but he has not yet settled on a date. Sad news from the world of college football. Jordan McNair, a University of Maryland football player hospitalized after an organized team workout 2 weeks ago, has died. McNair was a sophomore offensive lineman who played one game with the Terrapins. If you think you may be related to one of the country's first immigrants, you now have a new way of checking. The New England Historical Genealogical Society has come out with a new online pilgrim database All information in the database is derived from the original printed books published by the General Society of Mayflower Descendants. It's the first time the book's contents have been made available online. There are an estimated 10 million Americans and as many as 35 million people worldwide descended from the Pilgrims.
How about that? That's kind of cool.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of work putting all that together.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. The World Cup begins today in Russia. And while you may not be able to root for America since we didn't qualify this time, you can root for the next best thing. The Wall Street Journal analyzed the 32 World Cup countries in a wide array of factors, all with one question in mind. Which country is the most American? Well, it's Russia. At least for the opening game of the tournament. Russia plays Saudi Arabia today. Russia is distinctly American in that it's enormous. No World Cup country is closer to the U.S. when it comes to taxing its citizens. And Russians, like Americans, are also major producers of coal and oil. Oh, and they watch tons of TV like us and drink lots of beer. But Russia overall only ranked as fourth most American. Most American team in the World Cup, Australia. Highest number of McDonald's per capita among World Cup countries. The obesity rate is high, like us. England finished second. Poland third. Again, Russia fourth. Argentina was fifth. And at least Argentina has a chance to win the World Cup. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.